Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, that's sweet. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm KG Klein.
And this is Back Talk. Ken, let's go to hell.
Well, at least Hades.
So when you tell me something is one of the best movies you've ever seen, and you're going three times, I say, yeah, I
well,
just
when I
it.
Send you my sixth text saying, John, see this in a movie theater, don't watch it on a small screen, it means something.
And you are absolutely right. It is a brilliant piece. It has a provenance in the West End of London, which catches me almost immediately. Filmed this, actually, on the stage.
Well, of course,
lyric.
Folks, we're talking about the filming of the stage play Hadestown, which is probably one of the most talked about movies in theaters right now. The film was supposed to have been shown for 7 days only on a very limited engagement. They weren't sure there was an audience for a movie, basically a filming of a stage play. Then it was extended to 10 days when they filled the houses. And then when the houses continued to be filled, they've now extended it to an indefinite run. It's still running now on this third week and is doing so much better than even the studio's wildest dreams. And that is so gratifying to see that, John.
And we'll look at some other musicals later on in the show. But right now we have something with a performance by highly skilled performers in a musical that has so much going on, you have to tie yourself down so that you don't jump all around, because something is going on in that stage all the time.
Well, it has a stellar cast, and what happened was this cast left the show years ago, but there was an opportunity in February 2025 to get the original five leads back together for a two-week run and to film Hadestown. So they brought the show back and they opened it in a small theater. I say small, you thought it was fairly big, but
it's one
of the smaller West End theaters.
Yes.
And they ran it for a two-week run and they filmed four of the performances and then pieced those together, edited them together to make the movie that we see. It is the best thing, folks, playing in theaters today.
It is a tribute to the ability of director Brett Sullivan and others associated with it to be able to pull off a dynamic movie set on a stage. This doesn't always work.
I wish it was attempted a lot more often, and we'll get into this. This is a big discussion. It's been attempted recently. We had a Hamilton stage production movie that came out last year that did very well. We had a stage production of a lesser Sondheim piece, but starring Jonathan Goff. What I love is that there is an enormous difference, folks, between writing for movies and writing for Broadway. And this show reveals that. When you're writing for movies in Hollywood today, there is this fear in directors of losing the audience. So movie scripts are filled with exposition.
And this one is a bit like going to the opera. There are ancient stories that they have taken, pulled, and in some sense modernized, but still kept the old flavor. And this one has two myths mixed together. A really ingenious part, the Orpheus
and
Eurydice.
It's the myth of the Orpheus and Eurydice. And people will argue this. Maybe Louisiana in a railway station where Hermes is the station keeper. Hades runs the railroad. He's a railroad baron. Orpheus works in the station, and Eurydice is a poor girl on the run just looking for a meal.
Kind of like a low-rent Zendaya.
Yeah, and, very much.
And he is not very impressive to me at all. He's Reeve Carney, who plays Orpheus, just a very handsome guy on the stage. But when you have stalwarts like Hermes and
well, your young romantic
Hades.
Lead is never going to be your big name. Your big name is always your character actor. If you look at the Mariuses of Les Mis, they're indistinguishable. They're not memorable, but it's your Hermes, it's your Hades, it's your Persephone. These are the people that are going to be the big names. And of course, we've got the original cast. So we've got André de Shields, the man who opened the role of The Wiz in The Wiz. and who is famous for being an ape misbehaving, comes on stage in the opening of this scene, and you know immediately the audience is there for him, and he knows it.
It's like asking Wayne this question. I shudder to think of how much time you're going to gobble up doing it. But the Orpheus, Eurydice, Hades, Persephone, what about those myths? What are those myths? How do they mix together?
Well, they're all Greek myths, of course.
Yeah. And for those of you who have seen the Odyssey, welcome.
Hades and Persephone is the myth of summer and winter. Persephone comes back from the underworld in the spring, bringing summer, because she wants to be in this in the light of the sun. But then in the fall, Hades, her husband, comes back from the underworld and takes her back to the underworld, which is how we get winter. Orpheus and Eurydice, of course, as they say in the show, is an old story. A romantic love. He loses her. She dies. He goes to the underworld to get her and has a tragic ending.
The Orfeo has been replayed so many times, particularly in opera. There is something universal about the Orpheus legend.
The Orpheus legend, it's been done in plays many times.
I think it's a slam on men. A true and a very good one in a way that is almost benign. We just can't keep from doing our own thing. And when we're warned not to look back when he's taking Eurydice out of hell, he's just a typical man. He has to look behind.
The key to understanding this story is that the villain is not Hades. The villain is the fates.
Yes.
The fates are the voices in your head, the doubt, the fears that speak to you, keep you from doing the right thing.
And those three ladies are impressive.
And those three ladies are absolutely magnificent.
They're all over the place without dominating.
Yeah, and they are the Greek chorus, the classic Greek chorus. They're doing it with accordions.
And Hermes is as well. Don't you think?
Hermes is also part of the Greek chorus.
Yes, right.
He's the narrator of the story.
Yes,
he's the one that keeps the story. The movie is so different from the traditional movies today. Directors today are terrified that they're going to lose the audience. They know that most audiences are going to see their movie just once, and if they don't fill it with exposition to keep the audience on track, they're going to wander and go, oh, wait, did I miss something? I don't know where we are right now. I'm going to go ahead and leave. I don't like this movie. Broadway is not like that. Broadway knows that the key to being a huge success is getting people to come back over and over and over again. They know that most Broadway audiences are locals. They're not people from out of town. They're mostly people that live in New York City. So you've got to have a reason for them to come back and see the show two, three, four times. And that is why you end up with these deep, profound Broadway shows, shows like Into the Woods, Jesus Christ Superstar, and even Wicked. It took many people three or four viewings of Wicked to figure out that Stephen Schwartz had written a Holocaust story. But this is the thing, is that the shows are designed to be profound and have many levels and lack exposition so that you want to come back again and again and again and see it and get something brand new every single time. And that's why I love Broadway shows and why I love it when they do just set the cameras on stage, film it from the audience's point of view, and give us an opportunity to experience what Broadway and West End audiences got to see. There's been concern that, okay, this is going to affect ticket sales. And no, you wait until a couple of years after the cast has left the original run, and then you do it. You preserve, you take away the ephemeral nature of theater, and you preserve it, and you document it as a work of art that will be lost forever.
And look at what you're capturing, too, is the magic that draws me to London so many times in the West End. The best actors in the world. The theater actors are so, to me, so different from film actors. And I really admire film actors so much because the camera is relentless. But when you look at how much athleticism goes on the stage and how much is going on that stage, not just a small frame,
the
but
choreography.
A huge strafe. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is
the
this,
set design, the costumes.
This thrills me. And this is why I just OD on theater when I go to London.
Well, and I come from a theater background, and I remember in college asking my professor, after we went to New York and saw Cats with Betty Buckley and Brian Blessed. And I said, why don't they film this show and then show it in movie theaters so the whole world can see it? And the response was, no, theater is ephemeral, and no, it's going to hurt ticket sales and all the usual BS. And I didn't buy into any of that. And that's why I love it when they take the time to film this, because if you compare the experience of seeing Cats on Broadway to the Cats movie,
Yes,
which ranks right up there with The Room among the worst movies ever made.
Wow.
Or you compare the experience of seeing Idina Menzel, 5'9", alongside 4'10" Kristen Chenoweth, and you didn't get that experience with The Wicked Movie. The Wicked Movie was full of effects and production values, but it lacked the characters. It lacked the performance of Kristen and Idina. That's why I say, why don't you just set up the cameras with the original Broadway cast, film it, wait a couple years, release it theatrically.
Yeah, but the urge for Hollywood to have names who didn't appear in the show for their movies is often flawed.
But these same names, these same Idina Menzel and Josh Gad and Jonathan Goff, these are the same names that we're hearing in Frozen.
Yeah. You're right. Now, what do you advise our audience?
I would say, by far and away, the best thing to play in a movie theater in the last year is Hadestown. And if you're not familiar with Broadway shows, this is a great one to go to and start with. So not only are you seeing the best movie playing in movie theaters, but you're also seeing a taste of Broadway, a taste of West End shows, and you might develop an interest and maybe go to New York and see a Broadway show because of the experience you had watching Hadestown.
And looking at Greek myths, and for many of us, many in our audience have seen The Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you found yourself being caught by and enjoying The Odyssey, I think you may even enjoy more the myths in Hadestown, the musical. I think that you're in for a great experience in our entertainment industry by looking at both at this time and knowing why for thousands of years these myths have lasted.
And don't be afraid to go back and see Hadestown a second time or a third time. I've seen it now four times, John, and every single time I get something new out of it. And I can't say that about most motion pictures.
Of course not. Some would argue there's almost too much going on, but for me, that doesn't happen with
this
you or
movie
me.
This movie goes in with films like Citizen Kane and Apocalypse Now and Schindler's List that are so deep that you have to see them multiple times to really get through all the layers and all of what the director is trying to say.
Ken, we've chewed up and spit out and made look really good Hadestown the musical. Now let's look at some other musical that you've already mentioned a few in our discussion previous to this. But let's take some more musicals, ones that don't have to be like Hadestown, but these are good, solid American musicals. We're known for our musicals.
We have a long history of Broadway musical shows.
Sure. Very difficult to compete with Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the Rain, of course, one of the great ones. If you were a moviegoer in the 50s, and especially in the early and mid-60s, musicals were where all the money went. The big budget films, the Star Wars of the early 60s, were shows like Camelot and My Fair Lady, Hello Dolly, and The Sound of Music. These were the big, big movies of the year, the big spectacles. And they were Broadway shows, recast usually, with the biggest talent, the biggest names they could bring in. For My Fair Lady, you brought in Audrey Hepburn to replace Julie Andrews, which freed up Julie Andrews to go on and do Mary Poppins.
I saw her and him, Rex Harrison, was it?
It was Rex Harrison, yeah.
Yeah, I saw both of them on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
That was a thrill.
Rex Harrison couldn't sing a note, but boy, he could.
I love it.
He could
even
fake
better.
It. He could
you,
fake
you
it so well.
You made a point that I love. These guys that can't sing, Richard Harris and so on, who can't sing, who talk through it with these beautiful voices. I'm just in love. They don't have to. Richard Burton, he doesn't have to know how to sing.
In Camelot, you had Roddy McDowell playing Mordred. He couldn't sing a note, but boy, he could carry that movie.
All right, Ken, is there any comparison between this and West Side Story, between Hadestown and West Side Story?
West Side Story is a Romeo and Juliet story, and to some extent, Orpheus and Eurydice interpreted as a Romeo and Juliet story. The real emphasis on Eurydice, of course, is the ending, the doubt, the fear, and how that overpowers you. But yeah, I guess you could probably make a comparison.
Am I right that males dominate West Side Story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no question. It's about two rival gangs.
Yeah.
Which is what's in. And, of course, in Shakespeare, there's usually far fewer women characters,
yes,
because back in Shakespeare's day, men had to play the women.
Yeah. But I'm thinking even in Hadestown.
In Hadestown, yeah. You've got a few more women characters because you have the Fates.
Yeah.
So you've got three women.
And Persephone is a main character.
Yes.
Yeah, she's good.
And she's on Broadway right now doing the role of Riff Raff in the Rocky Horror Show.
Okay. Yeah.
And they had to pull her temporarily out of that show in order to do this 2-week run.
Yeah. More modern.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want to say, will you guys please get out of the Greeks and get into modern?
Okay.
What about La La Land?
La La Land is Hollywood. La La Land was never a stage show, of course. I don't like La La Land because I don't like the ending. Now, you're gonna immediately say, well, if you don't like the ending, how can you possibly like the ending of Hadestown? But the ending of Hadestown is so masterfully done, so beautifully done, and I'm not going to give it away because you should have that experience of how they handled the ending, and that you still want to keep going back and back and back over and over again.
Well, the ending is solid in the myth.
It's solid in the myth.
The myth means nothing without
that. But it doesn't end. The play doesn't end at the end of the myth. The play goes on for another 15 minutes in a beautiful, magnificent way that really is keeping with the Greek legend of Eurydice and Orpheus, in fact, in some ways, improving upon it.
Yeah. I feel somehow some comparison between Hadestown and Moulin Rouge. Am I right?
I mean,
Moulin Rouge has such a romantic cast to it.
Romantic cast. Yeah, you could make an argument for that. You could even make an argument for perhaps for Cabaret.
And I was going to ask you about Cabaret, too.
Where you can make that argument. The thing in Broadway shows is the goal of the writer is to create a show that people come back to over and over again. Now, sometimes the cast goes a long way to doing that. If you've got big names in the cast.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's going to pull people back in.
You are so right.
And over and over again. But Hadestown did not open with a particularly huge cast. André DeShields, of course, was known. Patrick Page was known. But these are not your big names. These are not your Jonathan Goffs.
But as actors.
As actors.
They dominate.
But they are so good. They're so good.
Brilliant.
They're brilliant that they're one of the reasons you go back. But also, this is one of those shows, as I said earlier, like Into the Woods, Jesus Christ Superstar, where there is so much depth to that. And that's what you can do with Broadway that you can't do with a motion picture. You can make a show that people come back to because they want to get more out of it each time they go. And movies don't do that. They used to. Citizen Kane, you really have to see Citizen Kane a couple times to completely understand it. But today, again, as I said earlier, Hollywood directors are so terrified of losing the audience on their one and only shot that they...
Not Christopher Nolan
so much, but especially the worst of all is the Marvel films, where you're going to have, Spider-Man, you're going to go that way and you're going to attack that creature. Iron Man, you're going to go that way, and you're going to use this device, which has the ability to do this, but not that. And we're just filling it with exposition so that the audience can go to the bathroom, come back, get popcorn, come back, and somebody's going to bring them up to speed.
I think we're amazing, given the short time that we've had to develop this, when the Brits have had hundreds of years to develop the quality that they have. And we're still working at it. For instance, something that I find to be an intriguing musical, American-made, Guys and Dolls.
Is another very, very good musical.
Yeah.
Has had a long, long run, pops up over and over again.
And there's something of that tragedy.
There's something of that tragedy,
Would you say also Chicago?
Chicago, definitely. I'm not sure that's tragedy, but there's certainly an element.
Talking about your happy endings.
The folly of humans and the good guys don't always win. The bad guys sometimes look good. And there's another layer, again, to the show of just what is going on when the bad guys are the good guys.
Is there any possibility to bring in Evita with?
Well, we've already done Evita with Madonna.
Yes. And that as a Hollywood
production.
Yeah, and so does it compare at all with Hades on?
Oh, yeah. When they filmed it with Madonna, they were pretty faithful, because that's a fairly straightforward show.
Yes.
Not a lot of places you can go wrong with that.
And one character dominated, as
very
opposed
much
to
a
where one you character
so many show.
Many characters in Hadestown.
Okay, so when I was in college in the 80s, and I was in drama school, and our first field trip
at one
to
of
New
the
York,
premier drama schools.
Well, yes, at one of the good ones, Carnegie Mellon. We took a field trip to New York City, and we saw two shows. We saw A Chorus Line, which they did deliberately because it's a wake-up call for people going into the theater.
Yes, right.
You know, you got to really, after you see that show, you got to question question your choices. And then we saw Cats with the original Broadway cast. This was in 19... 19-
you know, let me go back to Cats, mm-hmm. All right? I liked Cats.
Cats is great.
And I love the fact that they came into the audience. I really like that.
Once you figure out Cats is nothing but a review and there's no real storyline, it's a terrific show. And if you like dance...
Yes.
Cats is all dance.
Yeah, thank you.
Cats
is
80% dance, 20% song, and it's very catchy songs. I can run you off.
Well, Midnight is...
Yeah.
I
mean, it was so good that Barbara Streisand recorded it.
Yeah, my favorites of all. Yeah.
And exactly. All the songs in Cats are eminently quotable, and of course, they're based on T.S. Eliot, so how can you go wrong? But we watched these two shows, and I said afterwards on the bus back from New York, I said to one of my teachers, why don't people set up cameras and film these shows with the original Broadway cast and then show them in movie theaters? And his response was, oh, no, theater is ephemeral. The whole nature of theater is that once it's done and it's gone forever. And that would hurt ticket sales. And I'm like, well, we'll just show it 5 years later in theaters after the Broadway cast is gone. And then you have a visual record of these tremendous, tremendous performances and these great casts. And for years, they didn't do that. Over in recent years, they've started doing that. And there was some marginal success. And, of course, other things have been doing that for years. We've had concert films all the way back to, oh, my gosh, back to the 50s. And of course, the big one was the concert film of Woodstock that got released theatrically. But when you think about it, we have had them doing this with opera ever since the 70s.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, you've had PBS live from the Met. You've had Phantom Events, you know, showing the great Metropolitan Operas, and all they're doing is setting up cameras on the stage and filming the opera.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is not a taboo thing. It's only recently that we're finally starting to do this with Broadway shows. They did this with Hamilton, and now they've done it with Hadestown, and Hadestown has become such a monumental success, so far beyond anybody's wildest dreams, that I hope this inspires them to continue getting the cameras into the cast, the original Broadway cast, and showing these things in motion pictures so that the audience can have the exact same experience that a Broadway audience or a West End audience is going to have. And then we don't lose Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth doing Wicked. We don't lose the original Broadway cast of Hair. We don't lose the original Broadway cast of West Side Story. They're preserved for all time.
I'll tell you one that's preserved for me that I think is preserved in the Hollywood tradition that had as a mixture of everything that we've talked about in our show, I believe, okay? And this would be 1942's Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yes, yes.
And it has so many of the qualities that you're extolling and I'm extolling in one film. And you have a lot of stage shots on that one, particularly Cagney dancing. But yet you also get personal, which we wanted to talk a little bit about, and we should, that difference between the motion picture and the stage. And you've mentioned much of that. For me, what's beautiful about Hadestown is that I get close-ups.
Yeah.
I get very intriguing bird's-eye shots. I get all things that you can't experience in an audience.
And they're better in many ways than the sitting in the front row of the audience.
Yes.
Because you're getting those close-ups of those small gestures,
yes,
those small little movements that from the back of the house you're going to miss completely. You're being fair and truthful and honest about the stage production. You're not adding special effects. You're not adding things that aren't part of the show.
Yeah, right. And in this way, I don't need IMAX when I get the films like Hadestown. I don't need it because their camera is rolling all over the place and getting me close. Do you want to get close to see Hades, the character, the Paige who plays Hades?
Yeah,
this
Patrick
man's
Page.
Magnificent.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's done a ton of TV.
Ton of television.
And he's quite a presence. But that's the same way with Hermes, DeShields or whatever.
Oh, Andre DeShields,
You
yes.
want more of these and you get close. You can't even sit in the front row. You can't get the same experience that a camera can give you.
You get a better experience. Yes. A slightly better experience. There's still the wonder of being in the same house, breathing the same air as Andre DeShields or Rex Harrison or Idina Menzel.
When I go to London and I sit down and the curtain comes up and I say to myself, wait a minute now, do I like this better than movies? I may.
You may.
Like theater, for that live
one of my favorite experiences is back in 2013, Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen did Waiting for Godot.
You're killing me.
And I got front row seats. Oh. And I'm sitting there, and I am so close to Ian McKellen that without even moving forward in my seat, I could have reached out and touched his toes.
Oh, ouch.
And he has terrible toenails. But it's and it's this experience that you're sitting there, and they could have read the phone book, John. Because it's at the end of the day, Ian McKellen, it's Patrick Stewart. You can tell they've been together for 40 years. They're reading each other's minds, and I'm not even paying a lot of attention to what they're saying. I'm just in awe.
Their presence.
I am in the same room with Ian McKellen 4 feet in front of me, and Patrick Stewart's over there, and for 2 hours, I'm eating it up.
All right, KG Klein, we have certainly extended ourselves because the movie that we're talking about is so brilliant.
And we raised some great questions.
Yeah,
we raised some good questions.
It's called Hadestown, the musical. What do you advise our audience?
Oh, I'd say it's the best thing that you're going to see all year.
That may not be so because some of your authors are going to say, wait a minute, it compares with the Odyssey. Look, they're both Greek myths.
Just get your tickets well in advance because this show is selling out every single performance for the last 3 weeks. Hadestown.